Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. It's Tuesday, August 2nd. If you were thinking about coming out to Tucson in August and figured, I wonder what their weather's like out there today at 12 noon in Tucson, Arizona, it's probably well over 100 degrees. It's 72 degrees and light rain in Tucson, kind of a very unusual day here, even for summer, to have kind of an all-day Seattle-type rain going on in the Tucson area. Ray, that flash flood warning has been extended, by the way, now until 2 o'clock here, so be careful out there. Let's get things going with Terry Bracey. Mr. Bracey, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs, he has enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano. That firm represents, among other clients, City of Tucson and the Central Arizona Project. Terry, how are you? I bet your weather is a lot different in D.C. than we're having.
Yeah, but we're having a nice day, too. It's in the mid-80s, and I'm going to go hit some balls.
There you go. I know you love golf. I know you love baseball. Your Nationals are doing very well. And my Cubs, the Cubs have pretty much been in first place, in a solid first place position since day one.
Well, they have the best lineup in baseball, and they just made it better, if that's possible, by adding this guy Chapman from the Yankees. Billy, I never heard of this before. He throws the ball 105 miles an hour.
No.
105. Can you imagine trying to hit that? I wouldn't stand within 20 feet of it myself.
But I don't know if I'd be able to get any wood on a pitch coming in like that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So it's going to be a great finish to the season, and I'm hoping that things turn out great in Rio. I kind of feel for the folks down there. They've been through one crisis after the other, and they made this enormous public investment. Doesn't turn out well, and oh my gosh!
Just don't drink the water.
Oh, I know, and the Zika. And,
oh my goodness!
Oh my gosh! And, well, Nancy and I were down there couple of years ago and just loved Rio. So.
Yeah, we were there a long time ago, 92, and it's a beautiful setting, but there are certainly problems, let's put it that way. Terry, and we certainly, many people would say, we've got all sorts of problems here in this presidential race when you've got 60 to 70% of the electorate saying, I don't like really either candidate, but these are the candidates we have, and you've been pretty much right all along in this crazy year. So let's now take it the next step. We've got the general election now.
Well, Bill, it's been a crazy year for sure. The impact of the convention seemed to have allowed Hillary Clinton to regain a slight edge. Her bounce is anywhere from 4 to 7 points, according to the polls. The GOP convention was certainly not elegant, but it did emerge with a single theme. And that theme is sort of, in a time of chaos, we need law and order and a strong man, Mr. Donald Trump. The Democratic convention was a made-for-Hollywood terrific show, great theater. And as that, it really worked. But for me, it was hard to detect a single theme emerging, except perhaps the continuation of Obama's policies and maybe stability.
Terry, you have been a strategist on the inside in these things. Now, as we get to the home stretch, we're basically 90 days away from the election. What are the Clinton and Trump advisors planning at this point?
Well, both sides will be playing to their strengths. Trump will continue to campaign with tweets and big rallies, which has been his formula for success. And he'll depend heavily on messaging to carry his campaign. He's making really, Bill, the best of a bad situation, because many of the key Republican leaders in the states are really cool to his candidacy, so the work on the ground is not going to be that effective. I mean, just think, John Kasich in Ohio wouldn't even come to the convention. So he's stuck with his message, and that's going to have to carry him. The Clinton campaign, on the other hand, will go door to door in every swing state, identifying their voters and bringing them to the polls. Now, Trump says that's old-fashioned politics. This is the social media age. and we'll know pretty quickly who's right.
You know, Terry, though, this is like no other race I'm sure I've ever seen, and probably you haven't either. I mean, there are even foreign influences that have come into factor. What about these very different things, Terry Bracey, in the race of 2016?
Well, you've nailed it, Bill. That's really what's different. As a strategist, or an old one, you know, and you look out there at the things you can control, and you can do what you can do. But this year, I think there are three things out of the box that you can't control. First are the foreign influences, already introduced by the Russians by hacking the DNC emails, and Bill, Lord knows what else they've got. And Bill, I was personally shocked when Trump encouraged them to do so. You know, this is a potential enemy of the United States, and under some readings of the law, this is sedition, but he did it. And then beyond Trump and beyond all that, who knows what might come from other sources around the world. Trump has business dealings everywhere. So this foreign factor is a new factor in our politics. I've never dealt with it. I don't think it's a good one. Second, more than any year I can think of, unpredictable events could really affect the outcome. What would be the impact, you know, of a terrorist attack or an assassination attempt? And with today's communications, you have to remember that events in Western Europe carry the same impact as though they happened next door.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the Paris shootings, Bill. So there's a world of possible bad things that could happen in the next 100 days. How might that affect the electorate? We don't know. Finally, morality enters this race. The sad back and forth between Mr. Trump and Khazir Khan and the issues that the Khan's remarkable appearance at the Democratic Convention raises have caused many religious and civic leaders around here, anyway, to invoke for the first time in a long time the idea of the moral vote. We saw this last, you know, in the civil rights era when we were young, Bill, 60s and 70s. It'll be fascinating to see if religious leaders join Mr. Khan's call against Trump.
So when you look at all these factors, one might say that it's impossible, Terry Bracey, to point to the outcome of this election. Is that what you think?
Well, Bill, fools rush in where wise men fear to tread. And we have been right about everything so far by following the old rules,
mm-hmm.
First about primaries. And now I'm going to fall back on them on general elections and looking at the two candidates. So I'm going to stick with the old rules, and I'm going to say that Hillary Clinton will win a narrow popular vote and a large electoral vote victory.
Hmm.
Having said that, I still give Trump what they call in boxing a puncher's chance.
Well, that might be like, what, maybe 30% of a... I don't know, 1 in 3
not
odds.
Not even that.
Not even
think.
That. Okay.
I think maybe 1 in 5.
One in five. Six. So why do you say so, Terry? What you're thinking?
Well, there are three reasons. Let me put them out there.
Okay.
First, every Republican candidate has a massive electoral map problem that has nothing to do with Donald Trump.
Hmm.
In every election since 1992, the Democratic candidate has carried 19 states and D.C. with 242 electoral votes. You need 270. The GOP has won for 102 electoral votes. So then starting out, all that Hillary Clinton has to do is to win states again, those same states, and take Florida.
Hmm.
So she's elected. Hmm. Trump's job is far more challenging. So that's number one. Number two, and this is an old cliche but true, America is governed between the 40-yard lines. Another sports analogy. We tend to trend right and we trend left, but we never stray beyond what we think is a responsible middle. So ask yourself, if Clinton and Trump are within the 40-yard lines, I would argue that Trump is not. Finally, the old rules say that demography is always political destiny. The U.S. population is changing at an ever-accelerating rate and that's really at the heart of Trump's white backlash. But in order to win the presidency, Trump must win more than 70% of the white vote. I find it hard to believe that anyone could do that. Moreover, Trump has alienated so many minorities, Bill. I mean, everybody. That I believe that the minorities, the Hispanics, the African Americans, the Asians, everyone who considers themselves a minority, I think they're going to turn out as never before. So, Bill, I think Hillary Clinton's our next president.
All right. Terry Bracey with his prediction as the election now about 90 days away. Terry, we're going to leave it right there. Always good to talk with you and listening to your reasoning. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
All right,
bye.
Terry Bracey on the Buckmaster Show. Green Things, one of our fine sponsors on the Buckmaster Show, presenting information that I think you can really, if you're a gardener like I am, those free workshops Saturday and Sunday over at Green Things, 10 a.m. each day, 3384 East River Road. Very helpful. Different gardening topic every weekend just west of the intersection Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park. Everything you need to know about their 13-acre property at greenthingsaz.com. Check it out. Say hi to Jan and Jack. Tell them Bill sent you. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an AMA Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday, the monthly showdown featuring commentator Sean McCluskey and David Morales. Plus, we'll talk with the new spiritual leader for the largest Episcopal congregation in the state of Arizona. That's Tucson, St. Philip's in the Hills. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Welcome back, Buckmaster Show, Tuesday afternoon at exactly, coming up in 3 seconds or so, 12:20, and that means that's where you can find Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner, with me, usually right here in the studio. Sometimes we do it telephonically, but it's always great to see Shelley in person in studio. Shelley, how are you?
A little damp, but great.
At least your vehicle is not floating away like it did briefly last November, and hopefully we haven't gotten to that stage today. However, of course, we do have flash flood warning up till 2.
Be careful out there. You don't have to do something stupid like go into a wash or anything.
It's not
You could get stuck on a street that you think is going to be okay.
Exactly. And who knows, you may have to avoid like a floating garbage can coming down the street.
So, right.
We have a market that, today it's a little
Tuesday.
Bit. It's Tuesday, so it's the down, it's not usually down day, but it's down almost 100 points.
It's down a little bit more than 100 points, yeah. and it looks like it's getting worse as the late afternoon on the East Coast continues.
And what are the reasons?
Well, there are no reasons.
Of course not.
The good news today was that consumer spending in June and the second quarter, you know, turned out to be better than expected. There was very little signs of inflation. There were some other weaknesses in the economy. The problem right now is there's so much uncertainty in this connected world that every time you get a publication of profits, and we've had some corporate results now out of Britain, and guess what? They are beginning to feel the effects already of what is going to happen as they withdraw from the EU. And those results, especially in the financial and the real estate segments, turned out to be below expectations. And I think that's what spooked our markets today.
So it's happening already, a little more than 30 days after.
Right. We're also seeing the need or the perceived need on the part of central banks to get back in the game and provide some financial stimulus, and the Japanese have now done that. And I think that's another thing that's got us a little bit spooked, because quite frankly, the central banks are all in already. There's very little more that they could do if we get something that causes a downturn. And so without that shield, without having some sort of protection from the central banks in case of something precipitous, then I think people are beginning to hedge their bets a bit. As we talked about a couple of weeks ago, I've been saying that this year is going to be a low single digits year, 4 to 6 or 8%. We're already there. We've been there now, up and down, up and down. I think this is what we're going to see for the rest of the year, coming out at the end of the year, net-net, just about where we are now.
The seesaw will continue,
yes,
in other
exactly.
words. I've wondered about these terms, technical analysis and fundamental analysis. Are they basically the same?
They are not. They're very, very different. And, wow, that's a really interesting topic. Okay. So
they're not synonymous.
They are not by any means. In fact, they are in some ways polar opposites from an investing perspective.
Well, you're going to educate me and hopefully a lot of the listeners.
So technical analysis are the geeks with glasses and wide rims who put everything on charts. Okay. So
Ray just took off his glasses. No, I mean,
So a technical analyst is looking at the recent past, typically a couple of weeks, a couple of months, and making charts of what a stock has done, or in some cases what a market has done, and then trying to find where in those charts a stock or a market is violating a consistent stream, and say if it's below a certain level, then it's time to buy. If it's above a certain level, it's time to sell. So what you see with a technical analyst is somebody who says the market has full knowledge of the past, full knowledge that it needs, and the price is right. It's accurate, so that if that price is below, say, a 20-day moving average, then maybe it's time to buy. If it's above, it's time to sell. But the essential assumption from a technical analyst is that the market is rational, it's all knowledgeable, and the price that it is today is correct.
Okay.
And it says that about an individual stock. It'll also say that about a whole market. The fundamental analyst, on the other hand, says, look, what's really important is the income statement and the balance sheet of a company, or the fundamental measurements of an economy. And the market will correct for any pricing errors. What we need to do is take a long-term view to the future, and based upon fundamental analysis of a company or of an economy, the market will correct to the proper price going forward. So in effect, a technical analysis will give you trading information on a daily basis, or if you're a trader, a fundamental analysis will give you investment information. And so those are very different kind of approaches. And the two are at war with each other. But if you combine some of the information that you can get by really looking at both of those things, you can make some investing decisions.
All right. Let's go to the live line. Chuck has been waiting patiently. Oh. Hey, Chuck, how are you?
Hello. Hey. Shelley, I just got a comment. I think the economy is in serious trouble. We just heard the second quarter GDP results were a pathetic 1.2%. Which means basically no growth whatsoever. And, you know, we've got a foreign trade deficit that's totally out of hand. And our money supply is very, very high. And those are just some of the reasons I think that our economy is in serious trouble.
Okay,
well, Chuck, what you have just done is a typical example of fundamental analysis on a macroeconomic set of indicators. Now, I may or may not agree with you. As it turns out, I don't. But what you have done is, using the best information you can find, you have come to some conclusions that could potentially drive investment decisions a certain way. And so you've kind of picked up on the surround of what I'm saying. If, on the other hand, you're a technical analyst and you take a look at those same things, what you'll do is you'll compare this economy with other economies around the world, take a look at recent history and say, well, there might be some opportunity here. So those are just two different ways of approaching it. I thank you for your comments.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. So which I think I'm hearing you say about the technical and the fundamental analysis is study both.
Exactly.
And then put them together and then maybe find an area that makes sense.
And buy a good crystal ball. So again, I mean, just to comment a little bit more on what Chuck was saying, if you know, certainly the results in the second quarter were disappointing. Mm-hmm. Of course, the employment results were very encouraging. The consumer reports were very, very encouraging. We have some fundamental problems, and you and I have talked about fundamental change before, and those problems have to do with balance of trade, as Chuck rightly points out, and the fact that with a very, very strong dollar as we have today, it's really hurting our manufacturers' ability to export. So long as consumer spending stays strong, that's 70% of our economy. As it turns out, it's all of the growth.
Wow.
So are there some vulnerabilities? You bet. Do we need to really pay attention to that stuff? You bet we do.
All right, Shelley Fishman, good information as usual. And you can find out more about Shelley and get in touch with him very easily by going to my website.
Yep. And then hit the hyperlink and
BuckmasterShow.com, and you're off. And Shelley will return your call in a very timely manner. Shelley, I hope you have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Coming up at exactly 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday edition. Be right back.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with businesses they trust. Hi, this is Alan Schultz with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, here to remind you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week. Are you accredited? To apply today, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to start with trust.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location, Within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tucson-based writer Catherine Ferguson is author of the critically acclaimed nonfiction book. It's titled The Haunting of the Mexican Border, A Woman's Journey, which Foreign Policy Interrupted called the best book of 2015. The book also won the International Latino Book Award for 2016. Ms. Ferguson is also the co-author of the award-winning Crossing with the Virgin, Stories from the Migrant Trail. She is also an award-winning documentary filmmaker and has traveled the world as a dancer and choreographer. Catherine, good to see you again.
It's good to see you too, Bill.
How did the book come about? What really was kind of the catalyst for this book?
I guess because I feel that a lot of people in the United States don't really know what happens on our beautiful border here. And some of it is tragic and terrible, and some of it is lovely.
Well, when many people think of the border, they just want to build a big wall.
That wouldn't be me. No. I'm not in favor of the border, the big border wall.
Well, across the country, people don't have the kind of feel of this kind of borderlands area, do they?
No, they don't. We have a lovely border that, with Mexico, they are good friends. They're good neighbors, Mexico. And people live right on the border. You know, the border has crossed, actually, people's properties. And it gets a lot of bad press. Terrible things do happen out there. But especially in the last few years, it's very peaceful.
Where does the term, then, the haunting, what in your title, what is that referring to?
The haunting refers to two different things. One is that it's a haunting of our national conscience about how we participate there. And the other haunting part is more that it's a mysterious place. It's a powerful place. If you think of the desert as being powerful in itself, and people die there. And so when you are out there in certain areas, you feel that people are present, or that there's a power present.
You know, border policy has been controversial for many, many years.
Yes.
And everybody seems to have a solution on what they want to do about the border. But as far as migrants who are crossing over into this country, we've heard there are fewer coming to the United States right now because the border, because the situation back home has improved somewhat from where they're coming from. What's your take on that?
From Mexico, I think that's true. And what we see a lot of now would be people from Central America, and that situation has not improved. Actually, things are worse there. So we see big influxes of women and children, especially through Texas right now. And they're coming because their countries are not very stable economically, and then there are terrible problems with gangs and violence, and people are literally running from there, just the way they're running from Syria. It's almost as if it's a war.
Again, in your title, A Woman's Journey, The Haunting of the Mexican Border, is the woman you?
The woman is me, yes. I'm a native Tucsonan, and this is a personal story that mirrors the larger picture of U.S. politics and our immigration policies. In other words, it has humor, sadness, love, and politics, all of those.
Yeah, I first met you many years ago at Channel 6 at KUAT, and you were interested at the time, I believe, about the Tarahumara in the Sierra Madre Mountains.
Yes.
And actually went there and made quite a film about that.
I did.
Was that your kind of first experience with working in Mexico?
Yes. Since I'm from Tucson, I spent time in Mexico because my family would just go there. But as far as working, yes, I was working in the Sierra Madre in two communities starting in the 1980s. For about 15 years, I would come and go. And so the first part of the book is called Sierra Madre Trails Hunting, because I was with the Tarahumara when they call themselves Rarámuri. So I got to know this one family. I just loved them dearly. And I would go stay with them and then return to Tucson. And I was hunting for a film, and they were hunting literally for food. And so part of the book is about three different cultures. It's about the Rarámuri people, the Americans, and the mestizos, the Mexican people.
How has the border changed that area and the whole Sierra Madre? I went down there with my wife on a train trip many, many years ago. Absolutely beautiful area. Of, you know, we stayed at a very nice hotel on the rim of the canyon.
It was just absolutely beautiful.
But that was many years ago. Has that area still retained its kind of beautiful rural charm?
Well, it's beautiful and it's rural. And when I went, most of the time I went alone. Sometimes I would go with film crews. But what I found at that time was if you were a woman alone, you would get taken care of beautifully. Like when I would get out into the country with the Tarahumara people, they would take me in. They would make sure nothing happened. And now it's different. There are many roads, many paved roads that are both good and bad, and that carries in a lot of the narcos. And the drug situation is a little tougher to deal with now. It's more out in the open.
Part of the border, of course, goes through the Tohono O'odham Nation.
That's
here
correct,
in Arizona.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how that has impacted those folks, because let's face it, there are communities on both sides of the border. The border to them is a real hindrance because they have family that live back and forth.
Yes, that's what I understand there, mm-hmm. That it is a problem because the border literally has crossed families' properties, and on the nation, people have differing views of it, but you have people out there that completely support removing the wall, and you have people out there that support the Border Patrol that's stationed there because there are problems sometimes.
We're speaking with Catherine Ferguson. She is the author of a book that has been getting really terrific reviews, and Catherine's been speaking pretty much all over the country about this book, The Haunting of the Mexican Border, A Woman's Journey, and she actually was on a panel, I believe, with my friend Margaret Regan at the book festival.
Yes.
So what would you like the reader to take away from this book, Catherine?
Well, I would like the reader to want to come here. This is the most wonderful part of the world. I love living here. And I would like people to come here and go with me and my friends out on the trails and encounter what we encounter out there. It's stunningly beautiful. They should bring their cameras. They should bring a lunch, and they should bring a lot of water. And then we would hike the trails, and perhaps we would run into people that are crossing these trails, or we would run into ranchers that are nice people that have been there, both Mexican and U.S. ranchers that have been there for a long time. And I would just like to show them our life here. It's fantastic. It's nothing like most people have an illusion of.
And unfortunately, though, you have run into some very, I think I saw on your Facebook page, you actually found some remains, didn't you, recently?
Yes, I didn't find them, but I was with a man, Bob Key, and a friend of ours, Brendan Limon, and we were out hiking the trails. We carry water out there to leave for people, and Bob had found the remains of a woman. And it's very tough to come across that.
Well, that gets back to certainly the title of your book about the haunting of the Mexican border, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's haunting, like I said, about our U.S. policy, haunting about human remains. And I think it's a very difficult to come up with a solution about this, because in 1994, the U.S. government made something called the Policy of Deterrence, and that's when we closed off the ports of entry to the U.S. and used the physical desert as a deterrent, which would actually was to kill people. And the government thought that word would get back to Mexico, that people are dying and nobody would come. But see, the U.S. government didn't count on love. I mean, people come here, like right now, they're not coming here for jobs. They're coming here to return to the families they love.
All right, Catherine Ferguson, where can we get the book?
Oh, anywhere in the world. Okay. You can go
on
online.
Amazon, right?
Or Amazon, go to your local bookstore, Amazon, University of New Mexico Press, anywhere.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you.
Catherine Ferguson, the author of The Haunting of the Mexican Border, A Woman's Journey, and it's been getting great reviews, and congratulations to Catherine. It's good to kind of see her again. It's been kind of many years since we were together around a microphone. I appreciate it very much. Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you.
Be right back.
Hey, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman from 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. You got bugs? They driving you up the wall? I'm telling you, you will not be sorry. You call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 886-0045. They are more than competent. They're very economical. And check this out. They're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's really beautiful over there right now in the Gila National Wilderness with all the rain. Things really greening up, so it's going to be some great hiking opportunities in a cooler setting, certainly, than Tucson. When you get to about 5,000 to 7,000 feet elevation, you've got some great mild days, cool nights. Pinos Altos Cabins, among the many places, along with Silver City KOA, that are listed at the website southwestnewmexico.org. Not only the many places to stay, but the many things to do, all available in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Speaking of a higher elevation, that's where Dr. Ray Woosley is, I believe, up on Mount Lemmon. How are you, Dr. Woosley?
I'm better, Bill. You can tell I've got a cold, but I did that just so it would be appropriate for our conversation today.
There you go. I'm sure you're getting a lot of rain as well up there on Mount Lemmon.
Indeed, we are, and it's just a beautiful day, but as you can tell, sometimes the infections get to us, and that's what you and I talked about that we wanted to bring up today.
We will. We'll be talking about antibiotics, and this portion of Buckmaster, of course, is our monthly Your Meds segment. It features Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley is the former University of Arizona College of Medicine Dean. He's founder and now president emeritus of the very successful Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, known as CPATH. Dr. Woosley's latest creation is Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from 180 countries. Visit crediblemeds.org. And Dr. Woosley's having a bit of laryngitis, and I wonder if an antibiotic would be appropriate at this point. That is our topic. Maybe it shouldn't be the right time for an antibiotic, though.
Well, honestly, I don't think it is.
Okay.
Even though it sounds like I could use something, doesn't it?
Well, this is really, I don't want to say, maybe it is a good example. Mm-hmm. If someone like yourself, in the condition you're in, goes to the doctor and I think the patient in many cases would say, "Doctor, I need an antibiotic." And of course, you being a medical professional, you know better, correct?
Well, in most cases, that's exactly right. Patients have been sort of trained by TV and everything else that when they get certain symptoms that they should ask for an antibiotic. And there was a recent article in the newspaper, the Arizona Star, about the golden age of antibiotics may be over. And, before 1928, the most common cause of death was a bacterial infection, things we call germs. But in that year, Alexander Fleming invented penicillin. And since then, we've developed over 100 new antibiotics, mainly because penicillin and others stopped working when we overused them. So I think that's what's happened today, and we're developing antibiotic resistance. The drugs that we now have don't work, and this year there's going to be 23,000 deaths due to infections that the antibiotics just can't control anymore.
Dr. Woosley, let's go to the live line. Our friend Jim has called. Jim Kelly has a question about antibiotics. Hi, Jim. You with Dr. Woosley.
Hi, Dr. Woosley.
Hello, Jim.
Woosley, is there any other method of treatment for adult cystic acne other than antibiotics? Is there supplements or a diet or something that can help control chronic cystic acne?
Well, there's certainly things that you can do to help treat it and control it. Often antibiotics are required for young teenagers usually, and they're quite effective. But I think the main thing is to work with the dermatologist who can really find out what are some of the inciting factors, what are the things that are making the problem worse. And, of course, not touching your face, not using certain lotions that can aggravate it. There are ways to reduce the damage from the acne by very early on taking control of it.
You know, getting back to the drug resistance, and antibiotics are given in many cases when not needed. Is it true that over half the time these issues are really viral and antibiotics won't touch those?
Well, that's what the research shows. Half the time when people go to the doctor and they're given an antibiotic, it turns out that it's a virus, and antibiotics won't help a virus at all. Only time, or there are some antiviral drugs that can be helpful for certain types of viral infections. But it's very clear that those medicines are being wasted. They're expensive. They wipe out the good bacteria and leave the really resistant ones untouched. And then that's why you have the resistant strains. There are, you know, other things going on in our community. Antibiotics are fed to cows and chickens so that they'll grow bigger, and those antibiotics get into our water supply, they get into our food, and that's another reason for the resistant strains that are killing people today.
And we have so few drug companies now willing to really put the time and money into developing these new antibiotics. And of course, after penicillin came on board, as you pointed out, discovered in 1928. There was really this flurry that developed over the next 20 years. We had a lot of antibiotics that were very effective. When I was growing up in the late 50s and 60s as a kid, we had quite an arsenal at that time. That arsenal is very, very much depleted right now, isn't it?
It is. And when I was in training, we rarely, if ever, saw anyone with a resistant infection. Almost everybody could be cured if they had a bacterial infection. Mm-hmm. And that's just no longer the case.
And why are the drug, you mentioned that money is one of the big factors, that we're just not, that they're not developing these. So where do we go from here? What is our future in this area?
Well, I think it has, you know, Congress has tried to create incentives. They've looked at the military to develop medicines. That hasn't worked out very well, and the incentives haven't worked. And it's part of our basic health care problem. You know, the companies are rewarded for blockbuster drugs, these drugs that they can charge $100,000 for. And people can't pay $100,000 for an antibiotic, so they're not developing those medicines. And that's making the increasing resistance even worse.
And if your doctor wants to prescribe one of the so-called super antibiotics, just be careful. Do some research. Go to crediblemeds.org. Before you start putting anything in your body, know what that pill is going to do. Correct, Dr. Woosley?
That's right. Don't ask for an antibiotic, and if you're given one, ask if it's really necessary and if there's an older antibiotic that might be just as effective. Very often, doctors will give you the super drugs like Levaquin or Z-Pax or Cipro. These are very potent antibiotics, and they have serious side effects. So, now, I don't want to overstate that. Don't stop taking those medicines if you need them. But there are very safe antibiotics that can be given, and I think it's on us to pressure our caregivers. As we say on our website, you are the most important member of your healthcare team.
That's for sure.
So you've got to speak up. You've got to ask questions of your doctors and your pharmacists about the medicines you're prescribed.
And what you've been experiencing with laryngitis, quite honestly, it probably is a viral situation, correct?
It is. I'm sure it is. I have no fever. I just got, obviously, a laryngitis, and antibiotics won't help it one bit. a tincture of time will. And I think it's just recognizing that our bodies will heal almost a third of the time. Any illness you have is going to get better on its own.
Wow.
And it doesn't need treatment. The other thing to emphasize, though, is prevention is the real answer. And so vaccinations are very important to get your flu vaccine, absolutely, and the other vaccines that your doctors can recommend to you.
Yeah, and the flu shots will be available. I usually get mine when that vaccine should be coming pretty soon, within 30 days. I remember getting mine last year in September. So keep an eye out for that, certainly, Dr. Woosley, correct?
Indeed.
All right. I hope you feel better, and I do appreciate you coming on the show, Dr. Woosley.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay. You can get more information about Dr. Woosley's fine website. It's crediblemeds.org. If there's any kind of medication, questions that you have, perhaps something you're taking you're not sure of, look at crediblemeds.org. It's very, very consumer-friendly. Type in the name of the medication, and you'll get all the information you need about that particular medication. For Tucson at 4 is one of our fine local talk shows, 4 to 5 with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8, The Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you, our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show coming up tomorrow. Until then, Ray Allen and me, Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a great afternoon and evening. Be careful out there. Be right, and we'll be back.